All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everybody. It is 62 degrees and partly cloudy here in upstate New York. Looks like we're going to have a pretty cool July, considering July is 3 weeks into it, and I don't think we've had any 90-degree days. I did hear the cicadas, or we call them locusts up here, for the first time this past weekend, but definitely hasn't been warm enough for any of that. And actually, I'm kind of happy because I melt when it gets a little too hot. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for not getting mad at me for doing some rebroads last week. It is summer, and I am cruise director, like I've said before, so gets to be a little bit difficult trying to juggle all the balls in the air and be mom at the same time, so I had to take a couple days and just focus on some things at home, but I am back. Let's take a look at what was the last live show we did. That was a week ago, last Monday, titled Ratborg's Mad Science and Collective Psychosis. We had looked at that one experiment where they had put monkey brains and rat brains, I believe, and connected them up together to be able to feel things between each other and make group decisions. Some pretty scary stuff. We had also spent about a week or a week and a half looking at dopamine addiction in the brain and how dopamine affects our memory, affects our motivations, affects our morals. It's a pretty scary thought. We have become addicted to many different devices as well as substances, high fructose corn syrup being one of them, video games, our mobile devices, and they are used to manipulate and control us with that dangling carrot that's out there, always trying to lead us in different directions. So where I want to start today, we had talked about a story back in May that was titled Human Attention Span Now Less Than a Goldfish, Smartphones Are Blamed. And, I mean, this ties exactly right into everything we've been talking about with dopamine and how dopamine affects your memory and causes you to forget things. But let's refresh with this story here. It's out of Toronto. It says, with the rise of digital technology, the human attention span has shortened from 12 seconds, which I know when we first looked at the story, I thought at one point it had been about 7 minutes, probably 10 or 15 years ago. I had taken a bunch of classes while I was doing technical training into the concepts of adult learning, and I was pretty certain it was like 7 minutes for the adult attention span, and that actually was the amount of time typically on television between commercials. Well, how interesting, in 10 or 15 years it has now been reduced to 12 seconds, which is probably about the amount of time between getting some sort of alert or new message or new post on Facebook or some sort of email, some ding, dangling carrot on your phone to make you stop what you're doing, ignore the person that you're conversing with, and stick your nose back into your smart device. Anyway, back to the story. The human attention span has shortened from 12 seconds to 8 seconds in more than a decade, a recent study by, Microsoft has found. The humans now have an attention span of less than a goldfish, which is about 9 seconds on average. The 54-page study sought to understand what impact technology and today's digital lives are having on attention spans. The researchers collected data from the surveys of more than 2,000 Canadians over the age of 18. They played games, that's another one, ding ding, video games, and interacted online, ding, 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 another one. Those self-radicalized, internet-addicted children living in their parents' basement or in their bedroom to help scientists determine the impact of smartphones and other digital media on everyday life. Participants' brain activity was recorded and behavior was filmed while they interacted with different social media platforms across devices and in different environments. And, you know, the thing is, I know we talked about this before, but let's remind everyone, since our attention span is only about 8 seconds, we've looked at quite a number of times now all of the different ways that the federal government is using and higher learning institutions that are funded with federal dollars, how they are using social media to not only surveil us, and you see just about every new video of some new crime, of someone who did something that's always blamed on self-radicalization, they always go back now to their Facebook profile and use videos or posts that they posted as evidence against them. But they're even using social media in these psychology experiments that are being run at a lot of the upper-end universities on how to manipulate and understand language for artificial intelligence projects, how to... I know that there have been a few stories about posts that have been put on Facebook intentionally to see what the mass reaction would be and how people would react to those things. There was even a story about the rainbow flag when they, back probably 3-4 weeks ago when the whole gay marriage thing passed in the middle of the night when no one was looking and worried about the Confederate flag. Oh my God. Where they had given Facebook users the ability to change their avatar to an avatar with a rainbow flag on it. And it ends up, and whether or not this is true, I mean, I know that they've been doing all kinds of stuff, but I read a couple stories about this, that whole application to change your flag to a rainbow flag was another psychology experiment that they were doing without your knowledge on you on social media. So anyway, let's get back to the story. Participants' brain activity was recorded and their behavior was filmed while they interacted with different social media platforms across devices and in different environments. The teams then measured their attention levels and activities to view how attention varied by screen, task, content type, and structure. The findings revealed that the human attention span has fallen from an average of 12 seconds in the year 2000. So they're giving it, I mean, I probably took those classes in adult learning back in 1998. So just a few years later, I guess Microsoft determined that it was only 12 seconds as opposed to 7 minutes. But it's gone from the year 2000 to just 8 seconds today. And the decrease was seen across all age groups and genders in the study. Those in the age groups of 18 to 34 had a 31% high sustained attention span compared to those age 55 and over at 35%. Meanwhile, males, 33%, had a better attention span than females, 31%, and young respondents were more likely to display addiction-like behaviors when it came to their devices. And yes, as the generations go on and we forget the days before the internet and technology becomes so integrated into your life, and we looked at this the other day, that you depend upon it to make decisions, because if you don't have any more memory to even remember when your appointments are, it causes a massive type of addiction. Add to that the addictive area of the brain and the dopamine chemicals for your neurotransmitters that are produced every time you get that ding when you get a message. It becomes like a rat in a maze and you become very conditioned. It says, for example, 77% of people aged 18 to 24 responded yes when asked, quote, "When nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone," compared with only 10% of those over age 65. So 77% of 18 to 24-year-olds reach for their phone when they have nothing else to keep their attention, as opposed to 10% age 65 and over. Out of the 18 to 24 age group, more than half admitted to checking their phone every 30 minutes or less, and over 3/4 used their portable devices while watching TV. And I will guarantee you, if they had asked them about using their devices while they were watching a movie, talking to friends, in school during a lecture, taking a test, you would probably find out that these people check their messages every 5 minutes or less. On a positive note, Researchers found that the ability to multitask has significantly improved. So yes, they have all given us a strong case of ADD. I actually determined that many years ago as the advent of the internet increased in my life and messages increased from 32 different venues now that they come in from. It is very difficult to keep your attention focused on one thing at any time because you are interrupted every minute and a half during the day, giving you some sort of adult ADD that, of course, Big Pharma now has all kinds of treatment for. Heavy multi-screen users find it difficult to filter out irrelevant stimuli, and they are more easily distracted by multiple streams of media, stated the report posted on Microsoft's website. And yes, I think that that is by design. Very interesting that Microsoft produced that study, considering that they probably are one of the biggest offenders for ruining our attention span. So, getting along those lines, by ruining our ability to remember things and by breaking up our ability to pay attention to anything for long periods of time, by manipulating our brain chemicals with all of these different devices. You know, one of the ways that they do this, TV is another thing that you can very easily become addicted to. There are many things that the television does, but it sucks your attention span. And I have seen a marked difference in my child after she's been watching TV. There's almost like a haze on the brain after it happens. And it puts you into almost like this trance-like state where you're not paying attention anymore. And then when you look at how fast the news has been coming, I mean, it's just a 1, 2, 3, 4, where our attention is just drawn all over the place. The Confederate flag thing, the rainbow flag thing. What else are we looking at here? I don't know. We have ISIS under every bed and in every closet. And, oh my goodness, we have hackers everywhere, too. They are just hacking the shit out of every type of infrastructure. And, oh, look at how great they are now as they're breaking into the Office of Personnel Management for the federal government. I saw that there have been now long-term breaches. I think it was 21 million, then 45 million. Then I saw they got fingerprints from all the Navy, as well as anyone who lived with any of those people or who were related in any way. I mean, the hacks have just gone to the nth degree, and all of this hacking just started to happen when Obama passed that executive order to bring corporations under the wing of the different alphabet agencies who have already been doing the spying. But now let's look at, on top of all this hacking, we also have ISIS under every bed. And remember, ISIS is everywhere. ISIS could be in your closet because ISIS is now spreading their ideology via that pesky internet and those types of websites that espouse free thought. And it's very interesting because in light of this attack that happened at two locations in Tennessee, I think it was on Thursday, I believe, the 24-year-old, and remember, ISIS now, they're all young radicals everywhere. The 24-year-old that perpetrated supposedly this attack was from Kuwait, I see. They're now saying that he could possibly be with ISIS, but the way that they kind of spin this, and I have a clip here from CBS News, he's been radicalized because of being in his bedroom playing video games or watching videos or listening to that pesky internet. So here, let's check this out. I mean, as they give you the technology and they manipulate your brain, they're now blaming that same exact technology that now the FCC is taking control of on your radicalization.
CBS News senior security contributor Michael Morrell is with us from San Francisco. He is a former CIA deputy director. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. What is the implication of this attack, and is it the worrisome threat of the future? So, Charlie, we still don't know what motivated this young man. I would not be surprised if we found out that he was indeed motivated by ISIS or another Islamic extremist organization. I think that's where we're going to end up here. That would make it the most significant ISIS-inspired attack that we've had on our soil so far. There was the hatchet attack in New York City. And then, of course, there was the attack in Texas, the attempted attack in Texas. So this would be the third, by far the worst.
You know, and here he is just like smiling away as he's saying this. Yeah, it's gonna be our third attack. Look, they've all been in the headlines, and we've made sure that we've used fear porn to make you believe, yes, the hatchet attack in New York must have been ISIS inspired. I mean, remember that? What, ISIS is running around cities with hatchets attacking police? Come on. And oh, the one in Texas, in Garland, Texas, with the Charlie Hebdo-esque, you know, Let's Draw Muhammad art festival. I mean, that to me still, I didn't see any evidence, and we saw some pretty freaky footage that never made it beyond USA Today that showed them arresting one guy that looked just like the guy who then later ended up dead, and they looked at his social media profile and said, oh, yes, he must have been ISIS. This one now, of course, in progression, if this ends up being ISIS, this is going to be the most significant one yet. Uh-huh.
This is the wave of the future.
Wave of the future. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Charlie, this is not surprising to me. People have been warning about this for months.
Michael, you were been here on the show warning of this very type of attack.
Yes, he's almost like he was psychic now, isn't he? This is a type of attack. After we had all the military personnel names and addresses get hacked, they were worried about ISIS, quote-unquote, coming out from under the beds and attacking military installations.
Including at military facilities. How is it that he was not on any terrorism watch list and that his father was at some point but then removed?
Yes, how is it that we've spent bazillions of dollars on surveillance, but this jihadi was not on any list anywhere? His dad happened to be, and then he was taken off. Oh, my God, how did this happen?
So this is the most worrisome part of this kind of threat, that you can have a young man who may not be in any contact with a foreign intelligence a foreign terrorist organization, NARA, but who is in his own home, in his bedroom, in his basement, watching videos, going to websites, who is completely self-radicalized without any contact with foreigners or with anybody in the United States.
Here we go. So what does he say? Here's the money shot. The wave of the future, this is with ISIS under every bed, a young man in his own home, in his bedroom, in his basement, watching videos, going to websites, who is completely self-radicalized. Yes, that's what he said, and that is the wave of the future. Hold on, I gotta find where it was. All right, let's listen to the rest of this bullshit.
That is the most dangerous, because they can go out and do something, and nobody knows anything about it except them.
And you think about Chattanooga, Mike. It's not necessarily a hard target like we think of New York or Washington, D.C. What can you do to prevent these type of soft target attacks from happening?
You know, Gail, there have been...
Blow in your neighbor, 1-800, terrorists live next door to me.
And about 50 to 60 arrests of individuals who are in some way inspired by ISIS in the United States since ISIS became a phenomenon.
Yes, since ISIS became a phenomenon. Come on.
And those arrests cut across 20 different states, so it really is across the United States. So
be afraid, be very afraid. ISIS is under everybody's bed now.
I think this can happen anywhere, and I think this is a reflection of that.
All right, Michael Morrell, good to see you. Thank you.
Well, well executed, CIA and FBI and alphabet agencies. So as we have ISIS hiding under every bed, we also have hackers hiding under every bed. But remember, it probably is our own government that is hacking everything upside down and sideways to make you more afraid, very, very afraid. So check out, this was probably from last week or so, but I'm going to tell you, as we see things ramping up here globally and we see a lot of different manipulations happening, especially in the Middle East with this new Iran deal going through, I see that we just boosted now our military contributions by like $1.5 billion, I believe, to Israel because, oh, Obama says now Israel really has a chance to be afraid with a nuclear state of Iran. Well, while this is all going on, what happens? Hackers take control of a Patriot missile system in Germany, and if anybody thought anything different, I'm going to say you're wrong, but I think World War III is going to be blamed on ISIS and hackers taking control of all this automated gear that they're putting everywhere. They're sticking chips into soldiers' heads and remote controlling limbs, and nobody apparently is looking at security. I mean, if the Office of Personnel Management and all these other hackings that have been going on are any type of indication, I think we should be pulling the plug on all of this automation, Internet of Things, before the hackers get in and take control of your brain. So anyway, here, check this one out.
It produces missile systems called Patriot missiles, and they're stationed all over the planet. They're very powerful, and they can wreak a ton of havoc. So it's pretty terrifying to hear that one of them was just supposedly hacked by unknown sources. According to a German news outlet, a Patriot missile system placed on the Turkish-Syrian border was hacked by a foreign source who gave the system unexplained commands.
Now, it's really interesting that it was hacked. It's on the Turkish-Syrian border, which is like Tinder right now. And what, we don't know who hacked it, and they gave it some kind of crazy commands.
The system consists of 6 missile launchers and 2 radars. Now, the German government was quick to say it didn't happen, saying they don't have any data to verify the claim. And the two went back and forth, pointing fingers and saying they're right and the other's wrong. But we're talking about media and government here, so you can choose whichever one you want to believe. No matter what happened this time, though, there's no doubt that the story sheds some light on some serious weak spots in the Patriot missile systems.
And not just the Patriot missile systems. Like I said, everywhere, nothing is secure. They have tried to lead us to believe that it was. Even our encryption is not secure, and we're going to take a look at some of that. But, you know, we're putting all this stuff online, and then we're acting surprised when it gets hacked. And like I said, I don't think it's a band of hackers necessarily that's attacking all these high-profile targets. It's to make you afraid, make you very afraid. And anybody who is on the internet, spends some time, has half a brain. I saw that kid out of Chattanooga yesterday was a graduate of college. He had an engineering degree. So, of course, us engineers now are pretty scary because we know more than the average Joe that's out there. We have technical brains, and you must be using it for nefarious purposes. But pay attention, people, because this is turning the game around on every single one of us.
The first is in the sensors that transfer information from the missile launchers to the control system. The second is in the actual computer chips, which guide the weapons. Both of those parts of the Patriot missiles can be hacked into.
So, gee, I think I'm going to give the Department of Defense an F on that one. So if the chips that guide the guidance systems on these Patriot missiles are hackable, come on! I mean, this is such a setup that it is beyond unbelievable.
Because they both rely on software, and any piece of software is vulnerable, especially when it's being upgraded. When a system connects for an upgrade, it opens itself up to receive new information, right? And that's when hackers can slide right on in as well.
Hey, that's how the federal government's sliding right on into your computer as well. You get these flash updates, and flash doesn't seem to work anywhere unless, what? Oh, unless you upgrade. And I will guarantee you that that is where the back doors are coming in.
Now, it's not like the missile systems are operating on the internet, so they're not supposed to be as easy to hack.
Oh, well, good. They're not internet connected yet.
But neither is our government, and that apparently keeps suffering hack attacks, too. One security expert who reviewed the story said that often during upgrades, when we're supposedly making these systems smarter, that's when they get connected to the internet without administrators even realizing it. So the supposedly smarter we make our weapons, the more vulnerable they become. And Patriot missiles are no exceptions, even though they're called Patriots. Neither are our nukes, for that matter.
Neither are our nukes, for that matter.
The more we progress with our little war toys, the more vulnerable the entire planet becomes. So everyone can keep calling all this new internet connectivity smart technology all they want. To me, it's so clearly, so dangerously, so dumb. I'm the resident. Tonight, let's talk about that.
And there you go. And if anybody remembers that movie, Patriot Games, I think it was called. How interesting is that? Back in that movie, it was a simulated attack, nuclear attack with Russia, I believe, that got them thinking that we were supposed to launch missiles because we were being attacked. And, you know, I would not doubt that if World War III begins, that is exactly how it is going to begin. So I had a story here then from July 9th. Talking about encryption and the lack thereof, there are different types of encryption, different levels of encryption. You encrypt data when you are connecting to a VPN. You encrypt data when you're on any type of website that begins HTTPS, that is the SSL VPN type encryption. And you also encrypt data when you connect to a wireless network, let's say. And we talked about this a week or two ago. When you connect to a wireless network and you have to have a cipher key, the only other way to connect would be to have it wide open, and then nobody would have any encrypted data, like if you were at a public coffee house, let's say, connecting to their Wi-Fi. Anybody could hack what you have. But most people are smart enough to know that when you connect to wireless, you want to connect at least at home to an encrypted router. Well, listen to this. No one is safe. A $300 gadget steals encryption keys out of thin air, and it is nearly unstoppable. Well, anybody who thought that anything was safe, it just gave us another kick in the teeth. Just when you thought you were safe, a new hacking toy comes along and rocks your world. It says, imagine a tool that exists that lets hackers pluck encryption keys from your laptop right out of the air. You can't stop it by connecting to protected Wi-Fi networks or even disabling Wi-Fi completely. Turning off Bluetooth also won't help you protect yourself. Well, why? Because this tiny device can easily be hidden in an object or taped to the underside of a table and does not use conventional communications to pull off its capers. Instead, it reads radio waves emitted by your computer's processor, and there is nothing really you can do to stop it. And who came up with this? Oh, researchers at Tel Aviv University and in another Israeli research center called Technion have created a terrifying new hacking tool that can steal encryption keys out of the air. I wonder if any of that additional $1.5 billion we're going to give to Israel for their protection goes to any of this type of research. This device, which is assembled using about $300 worth of parts that are widely available, is about the size of a piece of pita bread, and not by coincidence, the team is calling it PETA. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Portable Instrument for Trace Acquisition is what it is, what the acronym stands for. And here's how it works. The PETA consists of a bunch of off-the-shelf parts, and it runs on four AA batteries using an antenna that can read electromagnetic waves emitted by a computer's processor from up to 19 inches away. The device can swipe the RSA and the EIGMAL data and decrypt it. Stolen data is then stored locally on the device's microSD card, or the PETA can transmit the data over Wi-Fi to the attacker's computer. Here's a deeper dive from the team's research paper. We demonstrate the extraction of secret decryption keys from laptop computers by non-intrusively measuring electromagnetic emanations for a few seconds from a distance of 50 centimeters. So it sounds like it's got to be pretty close to your computer at least. The attack can be executed using cheap and readily available equipment, a consumer-grade radio receiver, or a software-defined radio USB dongle. Oh yeah, you can get those all over. The setup is compact and can operate untethered. It can be easily concealed, e.g. inside a pita bread. Common laptops and popular implementations of RSA and EIGMAL encryptions are vulnerable to this attack, including those that implement the decryption using modern exponentation algorithms such as sliding windows or even its side channel resistant variant fixed window MMary exponentation. And that is even over my head. I did not study encryption in depth, but just know that the Israelis apparently have found a way to totally hack your encryption from just connecting to waves, radio waves that are emanating from your processor. That sounds pretty unbelievable. But to add insult to injury, a story came out, July 7th from Anti-Media. Carrie Wedler, she sometimes is on Anti-Media with Nick and DB and SM Gibson. She comes on as a guest. Carrie wrote the story a few weeks ago titled "Leak Documents Show That the FBI, DEA, and the Army," and I'm sure the Army is part of the Cyber Patrol Center that General Keith Alexander kicked off, is a part of it, "they can control your computer." It says, "Leaked emails from an Italian-based hacking company reveal the government agencies engage in surveillance more invasive than previously thought." Ding, ding. "Spending millions of dollars on spyware and malware software to accomplish their questionable goals. Tellingly, their use of the product places them squarely in the same category as other repressive regimes all around the world. After hackers ironically hacked the Hacking Team, a Milan-based company that sells strictly to governments, hundreds of gigabytes of emails and financial records were leaked. The emails show that the FBI, DEA, and the U.S. Army all purchased that software that enables them to view suspects' photos, emails, listen to and record their conversations, and activate the cameras on their computers, among other things. While this may seem like old news, the most controversial revelations was the government's purchases of, quote, remote control systems, unquote. The FBI, DEA, and U.S. Army, courtesy of the Hacking Team, possesses the capability to take control of a suspect's computer screen. And you guys do remember back probably 3-4 weeks ago, I actually mentioned that one evening I was sitting there and someone took remote control of my mouse and started moving it around the screen. I had to kill the computer to kill the connection, but that really kind of freaked me out. I know that they've been on my machine for a long time, but that's the first time that I've ever seen anything like that happen. Sounds like a beta testing to me. The technology is so invasive that even the DEA, known for its volatile surveillance policies, had reservations about purchasing it. According to documents obtained by The Intercept, an internal request to purchase RCS was denied by DEA management in 2011 because it was quote unquote too controversial. But by 2012, however, the DEA had resolved their concerns, likely spending a similar amount to the $773,226.64 plus thousands in maintenance fees that the FBI had invested in their own set of the software. Hacking Team was so committed to business with these American agencies that it concocted code names to refer to them. As The Intercept summarizes, quote, "Hacking Team refers to its U.S. clients by code names. The FBI unit is Phoebe. The DEA is Katie. And the CIA, which appears to have sampled but not bought the remote control system, is Marianne." Come on. "Hacking Team has been sharply criticized for its sale of the RCS software to oppressive regimes around the world, from Sudan to Bahrain. Hacking Team seeks business opportunities with rulers that target political activists, journalists, and political opponents, putting the American government agencies that employ the same technology and often with the same objectives in questionable company. And, like, that wasn't a secret, was it? Aside from RCS Software, one of the more contentious revelations is the company's hard sell that can bypass encryption. So here we go, another one that can bypass encryption. Don't think that anything is secure, people, because it's not. Always act as if somebody is listening. A capability the FBI has openly desired since phone companies made encryption a default setting last year. According to one company newsletter, hacking team offers, quote, technologies to access the data in clear text before it gets encrypted by the device and sent to the network and after it is received from the network and decrypted by the device itself. So that's pretty ingenious because that's getting it at the endpoint device, and that's exactly the vulnerable point. I wonder if that has anything to do with that PETA we had just read about. Anyway, the last part of this quote, actually, this is precisely what we do, it says, unquote. The FBI did seek warrants to use hacking team technology, in a handful of cases, but apparently uses a different platform for, quote-unquote, critical investigations. What the FBI really wanted from the Italian firm, according to leaked emails, was, quote, more ability to go after, oh, here we go, users of Tor, ding, 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 the anonymous web browser. And such users accounted for 60% of the FBI's use of hacking team products. I've warned you guys so many times, Tor is not secure. So if you're out there buying drugs or hiring hits of somebody down in the dark web, just know they got your number, and you probably are going to get a knock at the door or a no-knock raid at 3 a.m. one of these days soon when they decide that they have enough to hold you on. Regardless of how the technology is used, the FBI has encountered more skepticism from lawmakers. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, asked the director of the FBI for, quote, more specific information about the FBI's current use of spyware in order for the Senate Judiciary Committee to investigate, quote, serious privacy concerns. In spite of these legitimate concerns, and I mean, come on, we looked at the NSA being ruled by, I don't know, I think it was in a Supreme Court, but whoever court it was ruled unconstitutional, spying on everyone without warrants, and oh, what happens? We had the USA Freedom Act passed, which makes it even worse, and now they have, like, I don't remember what they gave the NSA, like 90 days or something, for now corporations to catch up to them, so they can start surveilling everything at the endpoints and at the service provider versus the federal agencies. So, you know, I don't think it's going to make any difference at all. And I knew they were going to tell us, tell any of the privacy advocates to go take a flying leap because it's not going to happen. Remember, there's ISIS under every bed and self-radicalized jihadis in every basement. Let's see. Whether or not the government agencies who have purchased the software use it extensively or not at this point is irrelevant. That such bureaus and government officials have so much as the desire to use it, in some cases, in spite of a clear understanding of its controversial nature, is cause enough for concern, and I would second that motion. Meanwhile, hacking team has remained ambivalent. Company spokesperson Eric Rave said, quote, we do not disclose the names or locations of our clients, and we cannot comment on the validity of documents purportedly from our company, unquote. More telling of the company's rationalization of perpetuating authoritarianism in the name of profit, however, is a quote from Giancarlo Russo, the company's chief operating officer, in a 2013 email. He wrote, quote, if you buy a Ferrari, you can teach, they can teach you how to drive. They cannot grant you to be the winner of a race. If a Beretta sells you a gun, the most peculiar and sophisticated one, they can teach you how to use it, but they cannot grant that you are going to shoot your target properly on the field. So there you go. I guess that contorted, decoded Italian to English message means that even though they sell it, it doesn't make them guilty of a crime if they sold it to you and then you used it for bad. There's another story that came out of Wired magazine. This one was from July 6th. FBI spent $775,000 on hacking team spy tools since 2011. This is talking about those same tools, but there is a video here that I wanted to check it out. This is a hacking team commercial. So let's see what it has to say. Maybe. We've been mentioning the H word a little too much. I don't know. Here it comes.
You have new challenges today. Sensitive data is transmitted over encrypted channels. Often the information you want is not transmitted at all. Your target may be outside your monitoring domain. Is passive monitoring enough? You need more. You want to look through your target's eyes. You have to hack your target. You have to hit many different platforms. You have to overcome encryption and capture relevant data.
And untraceable. Man, this is pretty scary. Who the hell is this hacking team? These guys need to go. It says immune to any protection system, hidden collection infrastructure.
Deployed all over your country.
Up to hundreds of thousands of targets managed from a single spot. I mean, this is Cyber Patrol written all over it.
Exactly what we do. Remote control system Da Vinci. The hacking suite for governmental interception.
Holy crap! Remote control system Da Vinci, the hacking suite for governmental interception.
Rely on us.
Wow, and they show the dude that was in the background the whole time. He had a black hoodie on. Remember back a couple years ago, wearing hoodies made you a terrorist? Yes, well, apparently wearing black hoodies makes you a hacker. And at the very end, when it says about governmental interception, he takes the hoodie off. And he is an IT professional staring at a computer screen, looking through your eyes at everything that you're doing. That is frightening. Here's one other story. This is also out of Anti-Media by Carrie Wheedler, titled, and when was this from? July 10th, so a few days later, UK government wants to ban WhatsApp and all other encrypted communications. So apparently the UK government doesn't have hacking team software in their dossier of tools, but I'm sure that they'll find out about it soon. The UK government is eager to expand already extensive spying powers to ban iMessage, WhatsApp, and Snapchat because the government cannot bypass their encryption features. The proposed ban was added to a revived version of the previously repealed British surveillance bill. Cameron's first indicated his advocacy of the ban following the Charlie Hebdo attacks. Oh, there we go, ding, ding, in Paris in January, justifying it by asking, without even a hint of embarrassment, quote, in our country, do we want to allow a means of communication between people which we cannot read, unquote. I mean, can you believe this? He quickly answered his own question, no, we must not. So poor people of the UK, I hate to tell you, but your government is just as bad as ours. Cameron's suggestion was part of a larger push to revive the sweeping communications data bill, which detractors commonly refer to as the quote-unquote snooper's charter. By May, the government had announced it would introduce an investigatory power bill that extended the powers granted in the communication data bill and strengthened the government's ability to engage in bulk data collection, just like the NSA, and I believe they passed something very similar in Australia as well. The Home Office claimed, and don't forget, we've had, terrorists under every bed in all these countries, so that is a good justification to get rid of all privacy, because we might be able to find those self-radicalized jihadis surfing the internet. The Home Office claimed it would, quote, better equip law enforcement and intelligence agencies to meet their key operational requirements by allowing them to monitor communications more invasively. Now, the bill is pushing forward and it includes a provision to ban WhatsApp, iMessage, and Snapchat to, quote, stop people from sending any form of encrypted messages, unquote. The bill also requires internet companies to keep full records of all communications on their platforms, and that is the same that is going on here via executive order that Obama inked a couple months back. This includes Facebook and Google, which would be required to hand over whatever information the government wants when it wants it. And remember, like we said earlier in the show, it seems now just commonplace that every time we have a new self-radicalized jihadi, first thing we do is we go to their Twitter or their Facebook and we pull down messages and use that to prove their guiltiness. In arguing in favor of the expanded powers, Cameron said, quote, we have always been able, on the authority of Home Secretary, to sign a warrant and intercept a phone call, a mobile phone call, or other media communications, unquote. According to Big Brother Watch, British police file a request for communication data every 2 minutes, so it sounds like our, what is the board called, where they have to, I don't remember, but they got to file it here. They were supposed to have to file it here, but then the NSA kind of just circumvented that anytime. Now they're back to that again. It's not FOIA. FISA court. You have to file for a warrant through the FISA court, but they typically approve any and all anyway. It says the requests are granted, yes, just like ours, 96% of the time by the Home Office, a rate almost as high as that of American rubber stamp FISA courts. There we go. Like Cameron, American officials have criticized encryption as a danger to national security. Isn't it all a danger to national security? You thinking for yourself is a danger to national security. By banning all forms of communication exempt from government surveillance, the UK government is straddling a dangerous line between national security, as it claims to bolster, and the basic privacy rights of citizens. Well, you have no rights anymore, puny citizens. And don't worry about it, because you know what? With your dopamine addiction to all your devices, fatty foods, and high fructose corn syrup, you won't remember this in a month anyway. Cameron pontificated this week that, quote, the question we must ask ourselves is whether, as technology develops, we are content to leave a safe space, a new meanings of communication for terrorists to communicate with each other. So there you go. It is happening upside down and backwards in every country. None of us are safe. Here's one other thing I wanted to hit on. Actually, there's a bunch more, but we'll see if we can make it through this. Like it or not, Comcast, and I believe Comcast is still the largest internet service provider in the country, Comcast is turning your home into a public Wi-Fi hotspot. What? Well, that sounds great. Hey, we're going to have public Wi-Fi everywhere. Every neighborhood that has Comcast is going to have some sort of public Wi-Fi. But remember, public Wi-Fi means what? Ding, ding. No encryption. So I think this is actually a ploy to make you think it's a benefit, but it makes it so much easier to surveil you. The latest upgrade to Comcast's Xfinity Internet service will make tens of thousands of households vulnerable to hackers and other security threats, some experts say. How? Well, the cable company plans to convert thousands of customers' modems into Wi-Fi hotspots. That means that anybody with a Wi-Fi device could log into the internet and possibly hack into your computer once the hotspot is activated. And you know, here's the other thing though. One of the reasons why you always would encourage people with Wi-Fi to put encryption on their data is so that somebody didn't drive up to your house, sit outside, parked out on the street, connect to your Wi-Fi, and then, I don't know, start hacking somebody, launch a cyber attack on somebody, and that attack is going to be tagged with your house's IP address for your router. So the next thing you know, the SWAT team or DHS or whoever cyber patrol kicks in your door at 3 a.m. and grabs your teenage son in the basement saying he did it and he didn't do it. Whoever that was parked outside your house did it, who's now long gone, and you have no record for it. So you always, always wanted to encrypt your internet. So this is insane. That's why I'm saying I think this is along the lines of what we just read about the UK. Get rid of encryption because it makes it so much more difficult for the federal government to get in and see what you're doing. Says to make, back to the story, to make matters worse, Comcast is not asking customers whether they want their modems to become a hotspot or not. Instead, it is simply switching the service on, according to the Houston Chronicle writer Dwight Silverman. A customer must opt out. And in December, Comcast was sued over the proposal. Well, good, at least somebody was thinking. Comcast is making this move in an attempt to bolster its bottom line. The Washington Post reported that the company hopes to be able to sell cellular phone and other services through those hotspots. It's even admitted so in a filing with the FCC. Quote, a ubiquitous Wi-Fi network built by Comcast could make a Wi-Fi first service, which combines commercial mobile radio service with Wi-Fi, a more viable alternative, the filing states. Anyone who has a Comcast login number will be able to access the internet via the home Wi-Fi hotspots, and that means that any Comcast customer could use your system if the Wi-Fi is turned on. Comcast says that the system is secure and that homeowners would not be responsible for the used bandwidth. Okay, I guess. Although others aren't buying into the security promise, and I am one of those others, I say absolute utter bullshit. This is a way to open up your back door and just make it so much easier for them to pull up in the old school black van on the corner and scan everybody's activity. Comcast Force Wi-Fi can make households vulnerable to classic hacking techniques called war driving, and yes, that was when people would drive around neighborhoods looking for unsecured Wi-Fi to be able to then connect and launch some sort of attack without being targeted specifically, and it would be under your IP address, like I said. A war driver is a hacker with a wireless device who wanders around looking for a Wi-Fi connection that he or she then logs onto and uses that connection for nefarious purposes. So there you go. A hacker could use the Wi-Fi hotspots for criminal purposes to, say, run a scam or steal data from a corporate or government network or even look at child porn, and police would raid an innocent person's home. Comcast says that the system is set up to protect the homeowner. Of course it is. But the thought of a home router being used for illegal purposes will likely make homeowners nervous. If you have Comcast, you can turn off the Wi-Fi features by following these instructions. Go to customer.comcast.com, sign into your Comcast account, click on Users and Preferences, look for a service address. Below, you will see a link labeled Manage Xfinity Wi-Fi. Click on Manage Xfinity Wi-Fi. Click on the button labeled Disable Xfinity Wi-Fi Home Hotspot, and then click Save. So make sure you do that. Anybody with Comcast, make sure you turn that off. You do not want that open to anybody and everybody. All right, and if, to make matters worse, we find out on Friday, I believe, last week, that IBM has overcome limitations in Moore's Law, and they have created a processor that is only 7 nanometers wide. I'm going to predict, they said it was, I don't remember how many times, maybe 4 times, I don't know. It was a few times the size of a strand of DNA, but it's absolutely tiny. And if there ever was a future for tiny little processors. Don't think that it's not going to live in your head someday or in a vaccine and get injected into you. Good old IBM, the father of Watson, the original, the guy who started IBM, Watson, who helped the Nazis with their punch card system for routing the trains. IBM is investing $3 billion with a B dollars on what? Oh, the Internet of Things. Yes, which will be you at some point in the future and every cell in your body. If you needed more proof that there will be bundles of, yes, oh, rub your hands together with an evil grin, business opportunities opened up by the Internet of Things, where everything from smartphones to coffee makers to cars and your brain doesn't say that, but I'm going to tell you, your brain will be connected to the Internet via Wi-Fi. Look no further. Computing giant IBM has announced a plan to invest $3 billion over 4 years on a new business aimed at making sense of the immense data that will be generated by swarms. Yes, swarms. We gotta love swarms of sensor-equipped devices in our homes, offices, and public spaces. The Internet of Things refers to a growing network of sensors and internet-connected devices all around us. Enchanted objects, as the below video from the New York Times calls them, are ordinary things that have the same functionality as they did before, except now they can talk and they are connected. How nice that they call them enchanted objects. These so-called enchanted objects include things like smartwatches and other wearable technologies, home electronics, appliances, cars, or even something as simple as an umbrella which lights up when it is going to rain. That's the first I heard of that one. Okay, and if you can even believe it, I just looked at the time. We have about 45 seconds left, so maybe this is where we'll pick it up tomorrow, looking at enchanted objects. Maybe we're going to have a candelabra start dancing on the table one of these days. All right, guys, make sure you stick around because it is Monday night. We have a brand new Truth on the Tracks with Brandon Turberville tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Nick and DB are live at 11. We also have a new Reality Bites tonight and a few other shows coming up. So make sure you stick around, and I will catch up with you guys on Tuesday. Have an awesome day, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow.